Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Blame him. Amen. Genesis chapter number 22 is one of the most interesting chapters that I find in the book of Genesis. I find this in the book of Genesis in chapter number 22. The gospel is preached unto Abraham. You can see the gospel all in Genesis chapter number 22. It's amazing when we look at the story of Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham taking Isaac upon the mountain, and you that knows the geographic location. They tell us that it's the same mountain that Calvary or that Jesus went up to Calvary that day and was crucified. But he takes Isaac upon the mountain. He's going to kill him. And he was going to kill him. He wasn't just going to kill him. He was going to fillet him off the bone. You study the book of Leviticus and those offerings. He was a burnt offering is what he was going to do that day. Of course, God provided a sacrifice that day. And because of that, he didn't have to physically kill his son Isaac that day. And Genesis 22, man, it is just loaded, with treasures, as the whole Bible is. But I really enjoy reading Genesis chapter number 22. And I'm going to read a verse and give you a thought in just a sec. I'm not going to preach out of verse number 11, but look what the Bible said in verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And that's a very, very, very critical verse in this chapter. And here's the reason why. Abraham has got Isaac on the altar fixing to kill him. Are you with me? He's fixing to kill his son on the altar, and the angel of the Lord spoke to him. You say, why is it a critical verse? Because it's very critical that you know the voice of God. If he hadn't known the voice of God and hearkened to the voice of God at that very moment in his life, the whole outcome of chapter number 22 may have been different. And I just want to say this to you. This is just a little side note in passing that I'm going to preach to you. You need to make sure you're in tune with the voice of God. And when you make the decisions that you make in your life, you better make sure it's God telling you to make it and not you just reacting out of what you think is the Lord. My wife and I was talking the other day, and we was talking about knowing the voice of God and being sensitive to the will of God. And I can't give you an illustration about everybody else sitting in this room because I'm not everybody else, okay? So I'll just give you an illustration of myself because this is the illustration that we use. We have great credit. And I said, you know what? I could go to the bank today and say, I found this house for $450,000, and we're in a if we can get a loan on that, then we can go home and say, you know what, if we get that loan, then evidently it's God's will for us to have that house. You know what, I'm probably going to get that loan because of my credit. That does not mean that it was God's will for me to have it. Are you with me? That's not what that is. You better make sure you know the voice of God when you're making decisions in your life, or you'll find yourself in a great big mess and you'll be sitting back going, well, you know, I thought it was the Lord. Don't think. Did you catch what? Don't think it's the Lord. Know it's the Lord. Know it's Him speaking to you. Amen. And I'm not going to preach on that verse, but there's a lot of preaching that verse right there. Have you found your place in chapter 22? Look with me in verse number 5. I know I normally have you to stand. I'm just going to let you remain seated this morning. Look what the Bible said in verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I want to call your attention into one word in that verse today, and it's the word worship. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the word worship. Whenever you study the Word of God, you'll find that this is the very first time the word worship is mentioned mentioned in the Bible. Whenever we study the Word of God, we'll find that there is what it was taught us in Bible college as the principle of first mention. This principle teaches that the first mention of the Word in the Bible determines its meaning throughout the rest of Scripture. It sets a precedence of the way that it will be interpreted, if you want to say it that way, throughout the rest of Scripture. Now, the practice of worship has already taken place in the Scripture. We know that. We know that by reading the Word of God. We know that by chapter number 5, verse number 22, where the Bible said that Enoch walked with God. He was worshiping the Lord. Chapter 6, verse number 9, Noah walked with God. We know that worship has already been in the Word of God, but this is the first time the word worship is mentioned in the Bible. Now, I think it's very important for us to understand this morning that there is a difference in worship and praise. There is a difference in worship and praise. One said it this way: praise is the fruit of our lips. Worship is the fruit of our heart. Praise is the fruit of our lips, but worship is the fruit of our hearts. A lot of times, praise is when we do audibly say, "Amen, praise God, hallelujah." Well, I just want to stand up this morning for you, preacher, and say, "The Lord has been good to me, and I thank Him for that." That is an audible praise. Worship, a lot of times, is something that is done when it's just us in God. It is an adoration to Him for who He is. Matter of fact, worship translated in the Hebrew here means this. It means to bow down, to prostrate oneself before a superior, to humble oneself before God. Abraham uses this word during the most difficult trial of his life. The hardest time in his life, and we find Abraham doing what? Worshiping in the most difficult time of his life. Well, what was that time? Go with me back to chapter number 22, verse number 1. The Bible said this: "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." You that knows the meaning of the word tempt there, it is the word test. God is testing Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." Now, you know, I find it interesting that before he enters the storm, he knows the voice of God. And while he is in the storm, he knows the voice of God. Did you catch that? Look what he said in verse number 2. "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." What is he saying? He's saying this: "Hey, Abraham, take your son, kill your son, fillet him off the bone, burn him on the altar. That's what I want you to do." And you know what Abraham does? Abraham, in verse number 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." Worship. You know what he said? He said, "I know what's going to happen when I get on that mountaintop, but I'm telling you now, before I get there, I'm going to worship God while I'm there." Can I just say it this way? His worship, by way of introduction, his worship was a premeditated worship. In other words, he says, "No matter what happens on that mountaintop, I'm still going to worship God." You know, a lot of times we want to worship when everything is going right. But we worship God no matter what. No matter the storm, no matter the valley, no matter the hardship, no matter what's happening in our country, we still worship God. And Abraham was saying this in the most difficult trial of his life. He's saying, "I choose to still worship God. I choose to do that." Worship is a choice that you make. Worship is a choice that you make. Can I just say this, and I hope I can explain it the way that I want to. Praise is something everybody else sees, and sometimes I think maybe, don't fall out with me, okay, but sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in praise, and we'll stand up and praise because somebody else is praising, and it really isn't nothing really coming from the heart. Worship's when there ain't nobody else around, when nobody else is there, when you're in the deepest, darkest valley of your life, where Abraham's at right here in the deepest, darkest place of his life. He's fixing to kill his own son, and he says, you know what I'm going to do? Even though I do not understand my circumstances, I will choose to tell you I'm still going to worship God for who he is. That's what worship is. I want to show you 1, 2, 4, 12 things about worship this morning. We'll go home. Number one, I want you to see the source of his worship. The source of his worship. What was the source of his worship? Why did he worship? What was it? Well, the Bible says this in verse number 1. God said unto him in verse number 2, the Bible said, and he said, Abraham found himself engaged in worship of Almighty God because God told him exactly what he wanted him to do. God told Abraham what to do. Abraham's worship, watch this, was based on a clear word from God. It was not based on his circumstance. It was not based on the temperature of everybody else's attitude around him. His worship was based on a source. And what was that source? That source was the word of an Almighty God. You know what the source of our worship is today? The source of my worship is not you. You know what? If today's a bad day for me and you come up to me and you hug my neck and you tell me you love me, I appreciate that. If you tell me you're praying for me, I appreciate that. If you tell me you're going to bring me something to eat, I appreciate that. But hear me and hear me well. You are not the source of my worship. I don't worship him because of you. I worship him because of who he is and because I've got a word from him. Oh, yes. In the midnight hour, and that's what keeps me worshiping him. Thank God for preachers today. You know what? In your darkest hour, I will try my best, if I know it, to be standing there with you, sitting there with you, praying with you, crying with you, laughing with you, whatever we do. But hear me and hear me well. There'll be a time that I'm gone and my wife's gone and the rest of the church is gone. Oh, but there'll never be a time that his word will not be gone. And what motivated Abraham to worship in the valley of, well, amen, in the valley of his life was he had a word from God. He had a word from God. There's just something about his word. There's just something. Oh, yes. There's just something about his word. If we're going to worship the Lord, we must do it his way in the manner that he has prescribed. Listen to this. Following the traditions and customs of men is simply not worship. Genuine biblical worship is all that I am responding to, or is that I am responding to all that God is, and he is revealed in the Bible. I respond to what his word says. I worship because of his word. In other words, God says he loves me. He sent his son to die for me. He will never leave me. He'll supply all of my needs. He is my father. He's my Abba father. He is the great I am. On and on I can go when I understand who God is and what he has done for me and the word that he has given me. At that moment, I can truly worship him in spite of my circumstances. The source of his worship. What was the source of it? The source of his worship was a word from God. Now I want you to hear me, and I'm going to move on to number 2 because I got a lot I want to say. But I'm going to tell you where you'll find the source of your worship at. Can I say this? I love good singing. Man, I love to hear our choir sing. That singing this morning from the Childers family, you'll not hear it any better. Thank God there's not a friend like him. I love good singing. I love going to the house of God. I believe we're supposed to go to the house of God. I believe we ought to sing the right things at the house of God. I love good preaching. Thank God for good preaching. I love preaching. I love loud preaching. I love quiet preaching. I love hard preaching. I like it when a preacher tells me that I'm wrong and what I can do to get my heart right with God. I love every bit of it. But can I say something to you? The church will let you down. The choir will let you down. The singers will let you down. The preacher will let you down. You'll let the preacher down. But there's something that's never let me down, and that's the printed page of this book. And the reason it's never let me down, it's because it's Christ pinned down on pages today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. I hold God in this Bible today, and that's the reason I can worship when you have failed me and the world has failed me. Thank God this book has never failed me. It's a solid rock. It's a light to guide me in my dark times. It's truth today. It's the Word. That's the reason we worship today. The source of our worship. The source of our worship. It's His Word. Watch this. Not only do we see the source of our worship, but don't you see the submission of worship? The submission of worship. Now, you had time to say amen. You're probably not going to say amen on this one. The submission of worship. Look what the Bible said in verse number 3 of chapter 22 of Genesis. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Not only do I see the source of worship, but I see the submission of worship. Notice how Abraham's submissive faith manifested itself in this verse. He rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass. He took two of his young men with him. He took Isaac, his son. He took the wood for the burnt offering. He clave to the wood. He went his way into the place of God, which He had told him. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Hey, Isaac or Abraham was submissive to what the Lord told him to do. Abraham heard the word of the Lord and submitted himself to the word. Abraham humbly obeyed God, and that is the essence of worship today. He obeyed what God said do. He done what, do y'all understand what I'm saying? He done, even though he didn't understand what God was telling him to do, he done it anyway. He done it anyway. You say, well, preacher, why in the world would God tell him to do this? I'm not God and I don't know. There'll be times God tells us to do things and we really don't understand it. But boy, if you really want to worship, you'll have to do it. True worship is not just hearing the Word of God, but it's also submitting to it. It's one thing to know what God says, but it's quite another thing to obey it, even when His commands and His demands don't make any sense to us. But what did Abraham do? And I'm going to knock several things out. I got a lot I want to say right there. Abraham submitted to the Word of God. Abraham submitted to it. Can I say something to you today? If we're not careful, we want to, now stay with me, we want to pick and choose what part of the Word of God that we want to obey. You'll never truly worship Him the way you need to worship Him until you submit to the whole counsel of the Word of God. The whole let me show you something. Watch what He says. And He said, take now thy son, thine only son. Verse number 2. Verse number 3. And Abraham rose up. Abraham rose up. So preach what He said, and here's what I'm saying. He didn't question God about nothing. He just done it. He just done it. He was submissive to that, I thought about this. Olivia and I was walking up the hill this morning to church. And I told Olivia, I said, you know, I said, Abraham really had a lot of faith. He really had a lot of faith. She just kindly looked at me and I said, he said, I and the lads going over yonder and we're going to worship and we are coming back. He didn't say, I'm coming back. Said, we're going to. You know what he was saying? He was saying this. I'm going to take my boy up there. I'm going to kill my boy. I'm going to fillet him off the bone. But you know what also is going to happen before I come back? God's going to raise him back up from the dead, put him all back together, and me and that boy is going to walk back down the mountain. He was submitting to God, and he was trusting God in that. I say this. I say the source of worship. I say the submission of worship. Number three this morning. It's 15 till. Number three this morning. I got plenty of time. Number three this morning. The sacrifice of worship. I see the sacrifice of worship. What did he say in verse number two? He said, take now thy son, thine only son. Verse number five, our text says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. In verse number two, he takes those two young men with him. In verse number five, I've never thought about this till I was studying this week. But in verse number five, he tells those two boys, he says, you need to stay here. Those two young men, look what he says. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He tells the boys, he says, hey, I don't know. I don't know if he was 18. I don't know if he's 27. He said, young men, they might have been my age, 46. Y'all get that in a little bit. That's still young. Amen. Nobody said amen. A bunch of y'all out there are older than I am, so evidently you're ancient, okay? I mean, Brother Robert remembers the world when it was black and white. Watch this. He tells those boys, you can't go with me where I'm going. You can't go with me where I'm going. Why did he tell them that? I thought on that all week. Can I just give you some Barkerology? Here's the reason he told them that. They would have hindered his worship. You say, how would they have hindered his worship? Do you think they would have just let him take his son and tie him to an altar? Do you think they would have just let him take a knife and kill his son and fillet him off the bones and burn him? Absolutely not. They'd have said, Abraham, you're a madman. I tell you, listen, Abraham, we're going to bound you. We're going to carry you off this mountain. We're going to the magistrate's office. We're getting commitment papers on you. We're taking you to the hospital and you're going to see a sight. You're crazy, man. You've lost your mind. You cannot do this. So you know what he had to do? He had to leave them to the side. He had to push them to the side. He had to sacrifice them going up the mountain with him. He had to push them to the side. Why? Because they would have hindered his worship. Hear me and hear me well. If you're going to truly worship God, there's some things that you're going to have to push to the side. There's some people that you're going to have to push to the side. There's some places that you're going to have to push to the side. There's some pride that you're going to have to push to the side. Why? Because they will hinder your worship today. The sacrifice of it. He tells these boys, you got to go to the side. But there's a second part of that sacrifice. He also, you could say it this way, I started preaching in 2 points, but if I told y'all I had that many points, you wouldn't have listened as good. You could really call the first part the separation of worship. And that's a word that everybody locks down on today. Well, preacher, you're going to preach on that separation. I sure am going to preach on that separation stuff. Come out from the world and be ye separate. He had to separate himself from that crowd to truly worship. There was a sacrifice there. He had to step away from it. Then the sacrifice was this. It was his son. He had to be willing. He had to be willing to give up what he loved the most. He had to be willing to take his son, his only son. I know some of you that knows the Word of God saying in the back of your mind, why did he say his son, his only son there when he had another son by his wife's handmaid? Because God never recognizes the work of the flesh. That was the work of the flesh. It had nothing to do with God. God wasn't nowhere in that. And God don't recognize the work of the flesh. He says, take thy son, thine only son. And there come that time where he had to give up what he loved for who he loved the most. Worship will always cost you something. Are you hearing me this morning? Worship will always cost you something. Can I put it this way? What is the Isaac in your life that's hindering you from worshiping the way you need to? What is that in your life that you need to put on the altar? I'll give you an illustration, and I can't go into the depths of it. My wife knows, and there may be one other couple that I've shared a little bit with this about. But a while back, the Lord began working in my heart on some things. And, man, it was very troubling to me, Brother Brian. It really was. And it wasn't troubling that the Lord was talking to me. I like it when he talks to me. Somebody say amen. But some of the things that he was saying to me, Brother Matt, I wasn't corresponding with him. That makes sense. We had bad reception. I went into a hole and the call got dropped. Y'all ever with me? Y'all know what I'm saying? Bro, Will, I just kept praying, Lord, I don't understand this. Lord, why would you do this? And I told my wife, I said, we got to take a trip. I said, we got to go somewhere. And I said, I'm praying that whenever we get to this place, that God settles it in my heart. I mean, that God lets me know this or that. Now, I'll never forget the morning before we made that afternoon trip to this place to pray. I'll never forget that morning, man. I really thought what God was telling me I was going to have to do. Boy, I cried and I prayed and I cried and I prayed. And I thought, okay. And that morning, Brother Josh, I told God, I said, all right. That's what I'll do, Lord. If that's what you want me to do, if that's your will, if that's your perfect will from my family and for me, then God, then that's exactly what I'll do. And man, after I said that, I was kind of like Brother Rodney whenever he was praying for peace when they was taking that tube out of his throat and he thought that he had prayed himself into heaven. After I said that, man, Brother Robert, it was just like the load was lifted. And I thought, oh, no. Because I wasn't interested in what the Lord had on my heart. I wasn't interested, and I just wasn't. You said, preacher, you ought not be that way. Well, forgive me. I was. I just wasn't interested in it. Boy, I'll never forget. We left that afternoon. We made a trip, Leslie and I. We prayed some and talked a lot. I picked up the phone going down there. I talked to another individual, and I said, please help me pray about this. Please pray that God would give me peace about this. I got there. We prayed. We came back home. I went to bed. I got up the next morning, and whenever I got up the next morning, that whole load was off of my chest. And I thought, whew, thank God. And here's exactly what the Lord said to me. And you say, did he really talk? He really talked to me. You say, was it audible? No, it was louder than that. If you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. And here's what he said. I was just seeing if you was willing to lay Isaac down. I was just seeing if you was willing to lay Isaac down. Can I say this to you? Abraham's serving God. Abraham's loving the Lord. Abraham's doing what he's supposed to do. And God came to Abraham and said, I want you to lay some things down. You know what Abraham did? He worshiped in that. Why? Because he wasn't worshiping his son. He was worshiping God. He wasn't worshiping the words that came from his son. He was worshiping the words that came from God. The source of his worship was not in himself or in his family. It was in God. And the submission of his worship was, he done exactly that. And the separation and the sacrifice of his worship was, he had to pull himself away from a group to truly worship. And the sacrifice was, he was truly willing to do it. But I show you this in closing, the satisfaction of his worship. What was the satisfaction of his worship? Verse number 11 says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." What was the satisfaction in his worship? God met with him. And we can see it this way. He didn't have to kill his son. God, Miss Tanya, you care to start playing softly. God might not be interested in you truly killing Isaac, but God is interested in you truly giving up Isaac. Are you willing, whatever that is in your life, are you willing to do it? What is the Isaac in our life? The satisfaction of his worship was, man, God, look, there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that for 3 days Abraham's been praying to God. There's not a doubt in my mind. It's 3 days from the time that God tells him to take his son upon the mountain to kill him. It's 3 days until they get there. It's 3 days. There's some of the gospel preached to Abraham, by the way. See, Isaac really didn't die. In the mind of his father, he was already dead. For 3 days, he was already dead. But you know what happened? God got him up. Jesus was dead for 3 days, but you know what happened? God got him up. But no doubt in my mind, for 3 days, Abraham's been praying, "God, you really want me to do this? God, is this really what you want in my life? What is the Isaac that is hindering us from truly worshiping the way that we need to?" I read this. I want to read it to you in closing. He might have climbed the mountain scared and defeated, but he came down rejoicing and thankful. He might have climbed the mountain questioning God's way, but he came back down understanding God better than he had ever understood him before. He might have climbed that mountain ready to give up Isaac on the altar of sacrifice, but he came back down more thankful than ever for Isaac. When Abraham placed Isaac on the altar, God gave him back, and Isaac was more precious than he had ever been before. The greatest key to having God's power and presence manifested in our lives is worship. If we could just learn to take all that we are and yield it to all that He is, we would enjoy greater spiritual blessings than we have ever dreamed of. If we could just learn to offer up a real worship to an Almighty God, He would honor us with His blessings. Abraham saw God do something that was unbelievable that day. Why? Because he chose to worship. He chose to worship. What if Abraham had said no? He said, "Preacher, what would have happened?" Well, I'm not God and I don't know, but I can't help but to wonder if God wouldn't have took Isaac away from Abraham. Our worship today, how is our worship? We can't worship because of our circumstances, church. We must worship because of who He is. No matter what's going on in our life, our source of worship is back to Him. Can I ask you another question? And I'm done, but can I ask you another question? Is there something or somebody that you need to separate yourself from so that your worship can be better? You know, one reason we have youth camp I know this year was a little bit different. Next year, we'll be back in full-fledged youth camp. Man, 4 days in Bryson City with probably 300 or 400 teenagers, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Let me tell you one reason we have youth camp, we pull them away, and we don't allow them to have cell phones, and we don't allow them to watch TV for 4 days. It's because they get away a lot of times from the influence of this world. They separate themselves from that. And how many times have you watched a young person at youth camp raise their hand or give a testimony, or like our group, we pull to the side from everybody else at the end of every day, and one of them that never says anything goes, "I just want to say I love the Lord tonight, and I'm thankful for youth camp and thankful that the church brought me." You know what they're doing? They're beginning to worship. Why? Because you've separated them. What is that in your life? Who is that in your life that you need to separate from so your worship will be right? Our worship this morning, Father.